When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, "All Things to All Men." You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
It's been years since I've talked about compensation, so let me just figure out what others are getting at. If this is in the ballpark, and that's fine. If it's still low, then we can talk about that. I want a Lamborghini. I said I want a Lamborghini.
That's Dr. Mary Gattner, president of Planned Parenthood's Medical Directors Council. At a lunch February the 6th with some undercover journalists, she was negotiating prices for baby body parts. And when they talked about the price being too low, she said, "Well, we'll bump it up. What she wants out of this is a Lamborghini." Now, she was joking about that, but it does give a lie to Planned Parenthood's latest protestations that they are not selling baby body parts and that they're not in it for the money. This is just the latest of a series of videos that I suppose probably there may be even a third or a fourth on the way as well, showing Planned Parenthood's part in an industry to sell baby body parts of aborted children. Joining us for her reaction for an analysis of how the media is dealing with this and Planned Parenthood's reaction as well, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, senior editor at The Federalist, a guest on network television programs AC360, Reliable Sources, Fox and Friends, and The Kelly File. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here with you.
How would you describe the differences or difference between this latest video and the one that was released last week?
Right. The one that was released last week, which was with Planned Parenthood's Senior Director of Medical Services, Deborah Nakatola, really struck people because she was discussing in detail the harvesting of organs while she was from children that have been aborted, while she was munching on her salad and sipping on her wine. This video also takes place over a meal, but rather than being so detailed about the organs, Mary Gatter, who is also a Planned Parenthood medical official, is talking in detail about prices. And it's just a really, from the previous video, Planned Parenthood tried to say, well, you know, there's no money made off of this at all. Well, this video ends with Mary Gatter joking that she would like to get a Lamborghini out of the whole enterprise of selling organs from children. And when they begin to talk about compensation, Gatter says, "Well, why don't you start by telling me what you're used to paying?" And the buyer says, "No, I really want you to set the price." And she says, "Well, you know, in negotiations, the person who throws out the figure first is at a loss, right?" And then she laughs. And the idea that this is simply an exchange of dead baby organs and that they're only being compensated for their cost when they're haggling over the price, you know, it's much harder to make that argument for Planned Parenthood.
So what are we watching here? I mean, there's a picture emerging that maybe yesterday Planned Parenthood could say, may have been believed, certainly believed by a willing press, this is an isolated incident. It doesn't represent a pattern nationwide. It doesn't do any of that. What picture is emerging for those of us who are actually paying attention to these videos?
Right. So what we now know is it's not just one undercover video, that there are at least two. And so it's reasonable to assume there will be more. I've heard as many as a dozen that could come out. And they're going to be with different people, it looks like, different people within the Planned Parenthood organization. And as you read through the transcripts, and I would highly recommend people watch the full unedited videos and read through the transcripts. They're provided at the site of the Center for Medical Progress. You can read everything that's said, and you really get a much fuller picture of the operation that's going on here in terms of, you know, how people profit from these organs from children who've been aborted, the means by which you make it appear reasonable, and the means by which you hope to make it appear that you're not breaking any laws. You know, it's something that I think we, if we want to believe that we're civilized, we really should have as much information as possible. But yes, also of note is that Planned Parenthood yesterday warned their supporters that there will be stuff that will be very difficult for them to swallow, and they raised an issue of something racial in play. So I don't know what that is, but they're trying to prepare their fans in the media and their supporters in politics and whatnot that it could get worse even, that it might appear that Planned Parenthood is charging different amounts or being compensated at different levels, perhaps you could say, for the parts of black children versus white children or something. I don't know, but they're warning their followers, so they must have had one of the people who met with these actors posing as buyers of a biologics company that there might be a racial angle in play as well.
Then it sounds as though they have been assiduously going back over their records of who ate lunch with who and how many times they met with this organization that was presenting itself in these undercover videos as the prospect for buying baby bodies and tissue and things like that and organs. And they're saying, according to our day planners, we said some pretty nasty stuff. You all better brace yourself.
Right. And I mean, you could imagine if you were in charge of damage control for Planned Parenthood right now, you would immediately ask all of your affiliates to be as upfront as possible about what might have been said so they can do a better job of managing the press. And of course, Planned Parenthood does a great job managing the press already. There's basically no daylight between what you get from major media and what Planned Parenthood wants you to hear. And this story, this is the type of story I actually put on the Federalist, a list of hundreds of questions that reporters should be asking to get to the bottom of this story. And the reluctance with which any media are covering this is just fascinating, particularly relative to all sorts of other issues that they hop on the bandwagon immediately and they stoke the fires and they come up with ridiculous angles on, even very unimportant stories. But here they're really struggling. So I came up with a list of questions about, organ harvesting trade, and all the different angles that you can look at in terms of whether Planned Parenthood is violating any laws or, what the ethics of this issue are.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the press's approach to this. It took about 8 hours for it to, even though it was in social media, all over the place. I mean, just in the bloodstream of social media, and usually the press is on top of that. I mean, they're going to be, at least in their social media and their internet presence, going to be dealing with these things as fast as possible. It took about 8 hours for the first major news outlet to pick up on the last video. Is this video so much in the bloodstream already that they pretty much have to deal with it in the real time that they usually use for big stories?
You would think so, but I don't think that the media are viewing it that way. I think they're extremely defensive, not just about Planned Parenthood and abortion, but also I think they actually know that they're hacks on the issue of abortion, and they are they just honestly don't know how to cover this in a way that matches with their agenda. And I don't normally say that about reporters. I mean, usually reporters are pretty good about setting some of their biases aside. I mean, even some of them. But most of the stories that I've been seeing come out are real defenses of Planned Parenthood. They are adopting the talking points of Planned Parenthood. So I think they'll wait to hear what Planned Parenthood wants them to say. I think you'll see stories based around that. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think anyone could observe the way this goes from social media and into traditional media and say that they're seeing good journalism taking place.
Let's go through we can't go through the hundreds of questions that you have come up with, basically doing the press's job for them. But give us a few that are the most important questions. If they don't get down the list to ask all of them, what are the most important questions that the press needs to be asking now and, very crucially, following up on?
Right. I don't know exactly how to rank them, but, first I think we need a general picture of what abortion clinics do with the children that are killed in abortion. How are they normally disposed of? I mean, we hear stories about Kermit Gosnell, keeping trophies of his victims. Occasionally you hear stories about abortion clinics dumping babies in the trash or selling babies for fuel. Now we've got the Planned Parenthood video showing that there are organ sales. So what's the standard procedure for disposal of unborn children? Are there clinic standards for this? Or does Planned Parenthood have standards? Do states have standards? Do we have federal standards? Does Planned Parenthood have uniform regulations? If so, how are they enforced? If not, why not? You know, that type of question, just setting the stage for what the general thing is. I think we need to know a lot more about how much money Planned Parenthood receives via sales of baby organs. You know, they say we're just compensated for costs. Well, let's hear more about how they determine these costs as being reasonable. Do they keep records? Are these records trustworthy? How do we know? How significant are these funds to the abortion portion of Planned Parenthood's operation? How does compensation for lungs, livers, hearts, and brains vary by state, if they do vary? And also, I'm just kind of curious, why would costs be different for lungs, livers, hearts, and brains if they're just being compensated for, you know, storage and shipping costs? How far along in a pregnancy must a woman be for her child's organs to be considered worthwhile for procurement, sale, and transfer? How much does the value of a child's liver, heart, lungs, etc., increase with time? And again, how significant is this to Planned Parenthood's business model? Does it affect the reason why they lobby on against protections for children who have made it through 5 months of pregnancy? You know, just, I mean, I could just keep going and going and going, but we think we need to know a lot more about the laws on trafficking in human body parts, who wrote the laws, how involved the abortion industry was in it, how much money is made through the sales. Also, I'm very curious if the companies that are benefiting so much from these organ harvesting procedures kick back money to Planned Parenthood in other ways. Let's say they only give Planned Parenthood $100 for a baby liver, but do they also donate to Planned Parenthood's political lobbying arm or to any of their affiliates, you know, nonprofit side of things? And I think we need to see who the executives are at all of these biologics companies and see, you know, what their lobbying ties are and what their donation ties are.
There have been, from the release of the first video, renewed calls for defunding Planned Parenthood. The money that they receive from the federal government that they say, of course, none of it goes to pay for abortion. Of course, all money is spendable in any way you want to spend it. But these renewed calls for defunding Planned Parenthood, do you expect traction there, real traction there, even though I note Fox News is reporting that when they asked the White House that question, if it's a possibility that defunding Planned Parenthood might go forward, is a simple no from the press secretary, Josh Earnest. What do you think?
Well, I mean, yes, the White House is clearly one of Planned Parenthood's biggest allies that have ever happened in politics. President Obama is known for very much being in bed with Planned Parenthood. Yes, we've been hearing actually for calls for defunding Planned Parenthood for years, and that was before these revelations came to light. So I think defunding Planned Parenthood should sort of be the baseline proposition proposed by people who oppose this type of treatment of unborn children. But I think the questions are actually so much more than that, too. I mean, yes, obviously, Mitch McConnell should hold a vote on whether or not to defund Planned Parenthood, and that should happen rather soon, and there should be pressure applied by people who care about these issues. But also, you know, shutting down clinics, looking into criminal charges. I mean, I think it's much bigger. We're talking about people harvesting organs of children they killed and doing it and getting money. And I mean, it seems like more like a criminal operation than just simply like it's okay so long as taxpayers aren't funding this. This is not okay even if taxpayers aren't funding. It's so much bigger than taxpayer funding.
Planned Parenthood's response to the first video was kind of haphazard. They finally got their act together. How do you expect them to respond to the second video?
Well, so what's interesting, it took them a while to get their sea legs on this. At first, they were trying to claim it was a hoax. You know, they went with the deceptive editing angle, but the people who put out the video also released the full unedited video and full transcript of the interaction. They did the same thing with today's video. So what it seems like Planned Parenthood has sort of like come to is this idea that if they say the messenger of the video is bad, that then they will discredit the entire operation. So they're saying that these people may have used a bad form of identification to get access somewhere. Which would be funny if the media cared about proper identification of anyone, since that's usually something they don't care about. But I think that's what they're going to try and do, just continue to discredit the people who are behind the operation, which is why, again, it's so important for the media to do these types of investigations so that we're not just privy to the interested accounts of Planned Parenthood or those who oppose them. We need some objective journalism really going into this and not taking one side or the other.
Well, and not just reacting to a story that breaks from someplace else. There was a day when journalists actually did undercover journalism, where they actually did investigative journalism, even of organizations that they might have had some sort of political affinity for. They were willing to do it. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to have happened in a really long time. Of course, journalists really did used to investigate sort of the seamy underside of the abortion business, and now it just seems like they're more engaged in protection of the abortion business. But, you know, just that same way that you see, you know, Indiana tried to pass a religious freedom bill, and the media all ran around the country trying to find people they could hold up as bigoted, you know, and not willing to cater weddings or whatnot. So they have no problem doing that sort of hypothetical question asking for some issues. But when it comes to, again, the harvesting and sale of organs from children, well, then all of a sudden they just don't have any ideas for questions that they could pose to abortion clinic directors or whatnot. And I think they have there's not really a strong journalistic case to be made that it makes sense to run into Memories Pizza in Indiana and hold them up as a, you know, bad example of people who wouldn't prefer to cater a same-sex commitment ceremony, but not ask any questions of any nature at all to abortion clinic owners.
Finally, what political ramifications, big or small, do you see, especially going into a presidential campaign season? What political ramifications do you see to the Planned Parenthood video? And if there's more, of course, this is the slow drip drip that everybody's got to talk about at some point.
Right. Well, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. Planned Parenthood is a huge actor in political campaigns. They spend a tremendous amount of money and they work very hard to mobilize their voters. They are taking a beating right now, even if the media aren't doing a good job with this story. It's still getting out. And so now all of a sudden Planned Parenthood is very damaged goods in a way that will affect campaigns. And I don't think Hillary Clinton and other very prominent pro-choice activists are going to escape being asked how they feel about organ harvesting of children. And you know, it'll be something that I think does not go as well for pro-choice politicians as has gone in the past.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is senior editor at The Federalist. She's a guest on network television programs AC360, Reliable Sources, Fox and Friends, and The Kelly File. You can stay informed on the latest news surrounding Planned Parenthood by subscribing to The Federalist for free. Just look for the link on the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Click subscribe and enter your email address. You'll get updates from The Federalist in your email box every day. Molly, thanks very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, it's part two of our weekly series with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute on the sexual revolution. We'll talk about the illusions, the myths of reproductive freedom right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology beautifully performed, and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We talk to the biggest names in religion today. Liberal Bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity Reza Aslan.
By definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org.